Yes, a very good morning all. It is Monday, April 8th, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you were listening, and hope you had a fantastic weekend. And we're about 30 or 40 metres away from Lot 391 at the Inglis Easter Yearling Sale today, where Winx's filly by Piero Coolmore will go through the ring and is expected to smash all sorts of records. So much to talk about. We'll have a couple of special guests joining us here to tell us about the sales and what a day's racing we had in the end on Saturday. Who thought at about 6 o'clock on Saturday morning we would get through that card? Even got an upgrade pretty early in the day as well to a heavy nine. And day one of the championships, some great stories to come out of it. Lots to talk about in the NRL out of the weekend, of course, as well. Gather round in the AFL concluded in Adelaide yesterday in South Australia. And also, well, the Formula One Grand Prix in Japan yesterday. It is Masters Week as well, as we head towards Augusta National later, late Thursday night / early Friday morning, our time for round one of the Masters. And it is great to have Adam Pengilly and, of course, Loz with us this morning. Adam, morning to you, mate.
Morning, Mido. Morning, Loz. Morning, everyone. It's quite surreal, isn't it, to be sort of sitting only 30 or 40 metres away from this this Winx filly. And there's no one inside at the moment. It's only us. So we're waiting for the sun to rise. There's a security guard that's been watching her overnight or all night, early into the early hours of this morning. And when she walks into that ring a little bit later this afternoon, I reckon there'll be a big hush that will descend over that auditorium. And I don't know what price she's going to sell for, but it'll be many, many millions of dollars, I'm assuming.
Well, you've written about it in the Herald today. We'll touch on that. Loza, how was the weekend, mate?
Not too bad, thanks, boys. I went up to Newcastle on Friday and attended a function up there for the Mark Hughes Foundation. It was a tremendous day. They raised plenty of money, so well done to Emma and the team. Sad day. Didn't think the races would go ahead with the amount of rain that we received all round New South Wales, I reckon.
Crazy.
Especially on the coastline, because it was pouring in Newcastle, pouring the drive up and the drive back, and then to wake up Saturday morning with the news that we were going to race, and race on a surface that was really good. It was really good.
Got back to a heavy eight loss. I couldn't believe that.
Mate, I couldn't either, Adam. I just thought it was terrific. And then yesterday, I sat back and watched the Canberra Raiders destroy Parramatta. Parramatta now two losses without, Mitchell Moses. I mean, they missed him, haven't they? Of course. But I expected him to be a lot better than what they were yesterday. But well done to the Raiders. I thought that was a clinical display, their best display of the season, and will give them plenty of confidence, in particular coming off that loss to the Sharks where they're 18 points in front. You know, they led 18-0 early, and then they let that game go. But well done to Ricky and the team. They bounce back, and that's what you expect when you put in a poor performance the previous week.
I haven't seen his post-match media conference yet, but were some players allowed to be praised?
I don't know. I didn't see the post-match press conference, but I'm sure he would have been delighted with that performance. You know, a lot of people expected the Raiders to struggle without Jack Whiten this season. But when you look at their team, they've got some talent in their outside backs, and they've got a big experienced forward pack, so they're going to be tough to beat. I'm not saying they're winning the premiership, but I still think that they're good enough to play finals footy this year.
Matt Timoko, Loz, how good was he last night? He's just turning into one sensational player, and Canberra just extended his contract just last week for another year. Yeah. So, and when you think about it, how fickle are the fortunes of Middle and Rugby League when Jack Whiten left the Raiders, probably going to South, I think he's a chance of winning a premiership. Look where they are at the moment, and look how the Raiders are going. It's crazy when you think about it.
Unbelievable.
Well, things can turn pretty quickly, and I know we'll discuss it today, and a lot of people will be texting and ringing in about Jason DiVittorio's future at South Sydney. And I said to Adam before that we went on air, was it not a serious story, but are the dogs barking, or are we just assuming that this is the case? But we tend to think that the dogs are barking, South aren't happy with the way they're going, obviously. And there could be some change in the coming weeks.
I think the gravity of that loss on Saturday against the Warriors, I know you guys might not have seen much of it, obviously being at the races. I watched a fair bit of it. They were never in the hunt against the Warriors. And the one thing that really worried me was they just lacked physicality and a bit of effort, and it just seemed like they got a little bit disinterested once they got two or three converted tries down, and they were never coming back in that game. So, yeah, I don't know, Loz. He's I know people are saying he's got 80 minutes to save his career against Cronulla this Saturday night. I tend to believe it's probably right, because we've got the bye the week after that. if there's another heavy loss against the Sharks this week, well, what do the South board and management do?
You could extend it a few months ago.
Well, they're clever, Mido, because they cap the payout. That's how they do it these days, okay. Most clubs. And there's reports today in the Herald, my colleague Michael Shamus wrote, that his payout's only limited to 9 months of his salary, even though he's got another couple of years left on his contract through to the end of 2026. So, listen, I don't think South's owners, Russell Crowe, Mike Cannon-Brookes, James Packer will put up with another heavy loss. I wouldn't have thought. Like, they, Souths are a team that need to be making the finals every single year and challenging for the premiership, and they're a million miles from that at the moment.
Yeah, well, I think they're a top eight team. Mm. A lot of our listeners at the start of the year weren't as bullish as what I thought they were. They thought there were still lingering effects of what happened last year when Sam Burgess walked out on the club. So his name's been linked to South Sydney. I'd find it remarkable if Sam was to be back there coaching, if Jason did in fact lose his job.
There's a lot of bad blood there still lingering, Loz, from the circumstances about how that played out with Sam Burgess. So if he was to come back, there would have to be some pretty significant changes, I would have thought, at the top end of the club as well for that to happen. So, but as we know, Russell Crowe, he's the main man. He pulls the strings. He's still very tight with Sam. So we'll see how it plays out, but a huge week coming up for South at the moment.
Fair to say they will be heavily discussed all week, the Bunnies, no doubt about that. But credit to the Warriors, outstanding performance by them. Short Johnson scoring a double. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck back in rugby league. How good is he going? Wade Egan.
He's got an enormous middle, Wade Egan. I don't know what you think, Loz. I've always thought he was a pretty good player, but the last 4 or 5 weeks just watching him, I'm thinking, this guy's banging on the door for Origin selection.
I think he's more than banging on the door. I think he's right in the frame. Yeah. I think he's, if you're picking it now, I know that Abbey
is going well.
South are struggling. Mm. I think Wade Egan would be the man. I'd have no hesitation in throwing him in Origin. Mm. But like they're playing with a, he's playing in a good team.
Yeah,
he's playing in a team that is responding to what he does out of dummy half. He's got the skill set of all the good hookers. Mm. He's tough. I've got no doubt that it'll be him or Appy at this stage.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
I don't know whether anyone's got their nose in front, but I reckon definitely they're seeded one and two.
They're above Reece Robson and Cookie at the moment, you would think, the way they're going. And he laid on this lovely play for Charles Nicol Klukstar on Saturday. You see that, Mido?
Yeah, I did.
Tohu Harris was sort of shaping up to receive the ball, one off the ruck, and Tohu Harris just made this little outside sort of run, and Nicol Klukstar came from around the back of the ruck, and his deception with his hands and his eyes, Wade Egan, was remarkable. It was a great pass, great play.
Yeah, and that's something they've done the last couple of years.
Yeah.
He sits on the other side of the ruck, and what you do, you don't see him as an A defender.
Mm.
So you see Charns on one side of the ruck, the A defender on the other side of the ruck sees Tohu Harris. So he comes out.
Yeah.
So he'll come off his line, he engages the marker, and he just gets to his outside shoulder, and Nicol Klokstad all of a sudden just presents at the last moment. The A defenders come up. Egan's engaged the dummy half, and it's just the short ball off his hip. And there's just space in behind. He does it as well as anyone.
Can they win the comp?
Yeah, they can.
The way they're going at the moment, Mido, you'd have to say they're a chance. I think I tipped them for BB minor premiers at the start of the year. I thought they'd have a really good year, and probably mainly because of the fact that they're not going to have any Origin representation. They're going to be largely unaffected by State of Origin. So, provided they can stay fit, they're a good team. They're a really good team. I like what they're doing at the moment.
Yeah, I think they can win
the
comp.
And they should be 5 from 5. Like, let's be honest. The game against Cronulla, the first game of the year, they completely dominated that game, didn't win it. They had Melbourne on toast with about 3 minutes to go, and then lost that game with Xavier Coates. They should be the unbeaten 5 from 5, but anyway, they're going well.
They're on the fifth line of betting with Tab to win the premiership at $13, Penrith at $3.30, and we'll touch on what we saw at Brookie as Daly Cherry Evans, of course, went past the great Cliff Lyons to be the games record holder there at Manly yesterday as well. The Cowboys 35, the poor old Gold Coast Titans 22. There at Townsville. The Cowboys led 16-0 at halftime. They had to withstand a Titans second-half fight back. Kyle Felt eventually put the game away with an intercept, which was his 131st try, and that saw him pass Matt Bowen to become the club's all-time leading try scorer. It's going to be a long season there at the Titans. Credit to them. They got themselves back in that game when it could have got ugly there yesterday. But, and Kieran Foran, he looked like he's battling injury there as well. At one stage, looked like he might come back on. But, they're in some trouble, aren't they?
From what we've seen in the opening 5 weeks of the competition, they are. Dez has got a big job on his hands. It's going to take to a lot to improve them. Losing Tino was a massive blow. I was umming and ahhing about putting Titans in my top eight. Yeah. I didn't in the end.
You're thankful you didn't. Yeah.
I didn't because they are my favourites to get the wooden spoon. Oh,
they're $1.60 now.
I don't know.
$1.60. Wow.
I don't know how they get out of the bottom four.
No, bottom not with two. Not with Tino out for the year, Loz. No. Like, he's so important to that team. They're struggling big time in the halves. Like, Kieran Foran's body's got to hold up. He's already missed a couple of games this year. I just don't think Tanner Boyd's shown enough so far to suggest he's going to be their long-term number seven. I just think there's a lot of holes in that roster at the moment, the way they're playing. And I think Dez, to his credit, knew going up to the Gold Coast he was going to have a huge task on his hands. But it's probably even bigger than what even he thought, to be honest.
Yeah. Do you move Brimson into the halves? You've got to get him closer to the footy, don't you?
He played there yesterday when Foran went off the field, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think the halves are working. So you either, and Kieran might be out for a few weeks, who knows?
Yeah.
But, I think Foran and him would be the obvious options. I think Tanner Boyd, you're right, probably hasn't grabbed his opportunity. So you're looking to make some changes there, but you can't get pinning it all on the one bloke because there's a number of other players in that team that just aren't aiming up.
What does David Fifita do right now? He's got until round 10 to activate this clause for this contract extension. Hasn't done it yet. He's playing in a team that's winless through the first four games of the year, not going anywhere in a hurry. I don't know.
Well, he might consider it, and depending on where the other offers are coming from as well. And generally, the teams that have a lot of money to spend are the teams down the bottom as well.
True. That's true.
So that's the other thing you've got to look at. Do you go from one club that's struggling to another club that's struggling? And do you want to go through that process of starting all over again? Or do you want to ride it out with the Titans? You form relationships up there. Got a better understanding of Dez and what the coaching staff offer. That's what he'll have to consider.
I suppose the other question is that I've always argued the Titans have got so much money tied up in their forwards. Tino, Fifita, would they be happy to see him go and free up that money?
Possibly. Look, I don't know what the going rate is these days for back rowers and front rowers. I see numbers floated around for certain players and I just can't believe it. I'm just going, wow, that's the going rate these days.
Well, the salary cap is above $12 million these days, so we have to start adjusting our thinking for the going. You're right. We have to adjust our thinking for the going rate because it's going to be more than what we've been used to in the past. Yeah.
Masters week too, Adam, and unfortunately Cam Smith over at the LIV tournament in Miami. They're saying possibly he had food poisoning after he shot a 3-over-75 at his opening round, but he hasn't had a great preparation, has he, at all?
No, he hasn't, Mido. He played well in the Hong Kong tournament going back a few weeks ago. It was the first time he's sort of shown any semblance of form to start 2024. But I've been told, I chatted to a couple of his people yesterday, that he was struggling about 24 hours out from the tournament. He suffered a bad bout of food poisoning. He didn't play in the Pro-Am the day before the LIV Miami event and then played poorly on the first day, shot a 75, 3-over, and then decided still wasn't feeling great. It was best to probably pull up stumps. I think it was probably the wise decision with the Masters coming up this week, but he's going to have to find something pretty quickly to be in contention. I suppose the one thing he can lean on is the fact that every time he goes to Augusta, he plays well. Like, he's had three top five finishes at the Masters, which is incredible, really. I know he hasn't slipped on the green jacket yet, but he seems to always play well around Augusta. So, yeah, he's going to have to find something pretty quickly to be in contention this week.
Geez, short Scotty Scheffler, isn't he, to win it? $5 to win the Masters.
Incredibly short for a golf tournament. But having said that, Mido, we talk about how prestigious and how renowned the Masters is. The reality is it's the easiest major to win. Of course, the field's capped. It's only got about 80-odd players in it, usually. You're not playing against 155 other guys that you will at the Open or the PGA or the US Open. So, yeah, it probably is the easiest major you can try and get your hands on.
We'll talk plenty of Masters during the week and see Evan Priest. He tipped Ashkay Bhatia to us. I'm sure he did. about 50-1, I think, at the time with Tab 2 for this tournament, the Texas Open. And here he is, four shots clear on the back nine.
His tipping's been great, hasn't it?
It's been pretty good.
He's been sharp.
Very sharp. So Ash K. Bhatia, four-shot leader. 2-under through 10 holes through his final round there at the Texas Open. Best of the Aussies, Adam Scott tied for 12th. 5-under. Give Scotty a rough chance next week.
To be fair, out of all the Australians, he's been playing the most consistently and solidly in the last 6 months. I know he hasn't won for a very long time. And I think the last tournament he won was a couple of weeks before COVID hit, back in 2020. I think it might have been the Genesis, going back almost 4 years ago now, or over 4 years ago. He hasn't won for a very long time, but he's been playing very solidly the last 6 months. So hopefully he can bring some good memories back to Augusta. Minwoo Lee's been struggling, Middo. He had a pretty poor start to the year after a good Australian summer. So maybe our chances rest with Scotty again.
Well, I'm seeing in the market, Minwoo Lee's $34 and Adam Scott's 81. Out of the two, I'm absolutely having a penny on Adam Scott rather than Minwoo Lee at the moment. So anyway, we'll discuss it plenty this week heading towards tee off Thursday night / Friday morning. Rabbits in the headlights is the headline on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald this morning, and the back page of the Daily Telegraph. Dimitri out, embattled Bunnies coach on brink of axe in the wake of their 34-4 defeat to the Warriors on Saturday. And the other big story to come out of that was, of course, Latrell Mitchell out for 3 weeks, suspended again for his forearm on Sean Johnson. He's now been suspended for 15 matches since he joined the club in 2020. They're out to $34 with Tab to win the comp. They've won 5 of their past 20. They are a club under enormous pressure. How does this all play out and end up, though?
Well, I think they have to win games if he's to keep his job. This is a big game coming up for them this weekend, and they're going to have to do it without Latrell Mitchell, who, in fact, I think was lucky that he only is receiving a couple of games.
What's he doing?
Oh, frustration, for sure. Just frustration, led with the elbow. If he breaks his jaw, he's gone for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And I reckon Latrell sitting on the sideline for that amount of time as well. Look, they're going to win a game, you know. And as Adam pointed out earlier, they came in with high expectations, high-profile owners. I was reading somewhere, I think it's they've only won 5 of the last 20. So it started last year. It hasn't improved. They brought a couple of players to the club which we thought would give them a bit of toughness and a bit more of a competitive streak in Jack White and Sean Kepi. But things just haven't played out for them. So they've got the Sharks, who are coming off the bye this week. They'll have to improve out of sight from what they dished up the other day against the Warriors if they're to beat the Sharks. Now, the Sharks being okay, and they're a chance, South, but they're going to have to play their best game of the season. Mm.
How much authority do you think the captain, Cam Murray's got in that dressing room?
He looks a frustrated figure, doesn't he, Middo? You just watch him in those press conferences after games. He just looks like his body language almost looks like he's defeated. He's busting his bum. Everyone knows Cam Murray, Loz. You've coached him before. Like he's a fantastic player. I don't know if the message that either Jason Demetrio is getting through to the players. I don't know if Cam Murray's voice is being heard by the rest of the players, because something is just not right at that club at the moment. It's been festering since last year. It's definitely seeped into this season, and just silly acts from Latrell on the weekend. Even Jason Demetrio called him out, Middo, in the press conference, saying that was stupid acts. And I haven't heard Jason talk about Latrell like that, at least publicly, pretty much ever, really. So he's got to the point of frustration now. And Loz just made the point. Was it 15 games he's missed through suspension since he come to the club? He's been injured, obviously, for probably just as many games, if not more. He hasn't spent enough time on the field for the Rabbitohs. I still think, Loz, they're their biggest issues through the middle of the park, Sias.
Yeah, I actually thought they were stronger there this year than what they were the previous year. But they just aren't winning any collisions. The battle's in the middle. They're just getting outplayed. They look a bit slow.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't look a threat at all. They're not allowing time and space for the outside backs that they do have. Mm. So they're sort of playing off the back foot a little bit. Shuffling the deck chairs hasn't worked. But with Latrell there, Latrell missing, which we think he will, just take the early guilty plea, gives them a good opportunity to
eject
some young guys in there. Mm. But that's the problem, isn't it, if you're relying on some young guys to save your season. Like, you're putting all the pressure on them.
You know, one thing I'd like to see from Latrell is, like, we know how the yardage battle in your back five is so crucial. When he receives a ball off a kick, a long kick, just run the ball back into the defensive line as hard as you can, mate, and get your set started on the front foot. Instead of just dumping off to your winger, I know Alex Johnson didn't play on the weekend, but an Alex Johnson or an Isaac Thompson or a Tyne Milne, he's one of the biggest and strongest, most powerful athletes we've got in the game, but you don't see him starting the sets like they should. And he'll argue, oh, it's not my job, I'll chime in when I need to, but you want a statement. You want a statement collision. You want a statement run to get your team going. But I just didn't say that at all on Saturday.
And I saw Andrew Johns commenting on the Channel 9 footy show yesterday whether when he comes back, it needs to be back in the centres for the sake of the team. They're going to give young Jai Gray, I believe, is in line to make his debut for the club.
I think there's a couple of options that they've got to consider. One is, what is he going to do in this 3 weeks off? Mm. And you want to make sure that he comes back in good fitness condition. And then you've just got to see how the team performs, and you've got to see how the young fella Jai Grave, in fact, that's who they pick, see how he goes. A big ask for a young boy. Mm. Yes, he might have potential, but he's going to have some faults and issues in his game where, opposition teams will try and work out. So I think it just sees how it all plays out, but it'll be an option for Jason Demetriou. I don't think it's just a fait accompli that Latrell just walks straight back in as fullback now. I think it gives them a chance to reassess where they're at, give some people an opportunity, mix and match players in that team, possibility of moving Jack to six, Cody to seven. It might be something else they look at. Mm. But without Latrell, it certainly gives them the option of moving players around and seeing what the best fit is for the team.
You talk about wanting to ease a guy into first grade.
He's a
19-year-old playing fullback taking over from Latrell Mitchell with his team on the brink of their season imploding. Good luck.
And you've written a story. We'll get to it on the back page. Cloud hangs over tribute for Jennings milestone, a story you've co-written. We'll get into that after the 6 o'clock news, though. Naturally, our heroes and villains will try and get through as many texts and calls as possible, but we do have a lot of guests this morning as well. But 0419 767 272 on the text line and 1353 53, of course, on the open line. And just your Premier League results overnight, 2-2 at Old Trafford, Manchester United up against Liverpool, Sheffield United and Chelsea has also finished 2-2, and Tottenham are now up to fourth on goal difference after a 3-1 victory against Nottingham Forest this morning. But you saw more of the 2-2 draw than I did, Adam.
Not a good result for either of us, Mido. You probably need to win to cement top spot in the title race, and our chances of finishing anywhere near the Champions League are fading by the day.
Oh, long odds for that.
I know. Sorry.
Give us a call, 1353 53 0419 767 272 on the text line, and it is great to be here at the Inglis Easter Yearling Sale this morning, and we'll speak soon to Sebastian Hutch, the Chief Executive of Inglis Bloodstock. We'll speak to Tom Moore from Coolmore a little later as well. And, of course, Coolmore offering up today lot 391, which is the filly by Piero out of Winks. And Inglis's Jonathan Darcy will have the honour of selling her today. And the big question is how much? Go on, Adam.
Oh, Mido.
What does she go for?
I don't know. Absolute minimum three. Probably nudging four. I don't know if she'll get to the Australian yearling record of five. Although, did you read the story I wrote in the Herald this morning about this American tycoon?
Tell us about it.
John Stewart, his name is. He's a private equity tycoon who's only relatively new to thoroughbred racing and bloodstock, has been spending up big in the last 12 months, has has pledged he won't be outbid on this Winx filly, and says our record has been $9 million so far for a single horse, and he's happy to go that high to buy this filly.
Why would you say that?
I don't know.
Before going to an auction.
Is he trying to scare some people off, or I don't know.
Talk about showing your hair.
Yeah.
Well, actually, he bought a few horses yesterday on day one of the sales, and the word on the grounds here was that he was at dinner in Kentucky at a restaurant, just bidding online on his computer, and he bought a few yesterday.
Okay.
So he's going to be bidding again online for Winx's filly a bit later this afternoon.
Right. Okay. Well, we look forward to it. Earl, what they're saying, what, around the 1, 2 o'clock mark?
It is, roughly, yeah. Yeah, depending on how the day goes. But I think it's scheduled between 1 and 2 o'clock, maybe getting closer to 2:15. But if you want to get out here early, because there's going to be a ton of people out here.
There certainly will be. And yesterday, James Harran paid $2.2 million for a filly by Zoostar out of Prompt Response, which was a Group 1 mare, wasn't she? Prompt Response. So $2.2 million for that filly. Was the leader of the sale so far. But gee, what a day's racing we ended up on Saturday. Celestial Legend winning the Doncaster, of course, for Tyler Schiller and Les Bridge. Riff Rocket won the Derby for Chris Waller and J-Mac. Upset in the TJ, Chain of Lightning. Peter Moody and Catherine Coleman and Damien Lane winning a Group 1 with Chain of Lightning. And Manar won the size for Michael Freeman and Jason Collett. Mm. In the end, when we got to the track, we were there Friday morning, just after we left. It threw it down like you would not believe. And I reckon I woke up twice Friday night. It was as bad. I mean, how we even got there on Saturday. And, you know, credit to everyone involved. Michael Wood and his team. I think there was probably a leap of faith made maybe by, you know, the stewards as well. And in the end, we got a blazing sunshine. Great day's racing. It was hot.
I couldn't believe we finished on a heavy eight. I was flabbergasted. Right. And the track raced really well, I thought.
I couldn't believe there was no sort of kickback.
No,
yeah,
there wasn't.
It seemed very limited.
I was thinking, if they're racing on this,
it's going to be mud.
All that.
Mud splatting everywhere over jockeys. It was fine. It was excellent. Yeah. So, well done to everyone involved at the ATC, Michael Wood and his team. That's a remarkable job what they did there.
They're my hero this week. There you go. I'll get it out there.
Go for it.
They're my heroes. The track team at Randwick, well done to them. And I want to give an honourable mention to Tyler Schiller, wasting it down to 49, and Les Bridge with Celestial Legend. Remarkable training performance, so well done to everyone involved. I don't know whether they've spoken about this. Forgive me if we have already this morning, but my villain... Well, I don't know who to blame. I don't know whether to blame the referee or the video referee. The bunker.
This is the Manly game.
They have been ruling that that's a knock-on every day of the week for the past 5 years. Every day of the week.
5 years? 105 years? Well, I couldn't believe it was. I was watching the game. I saw it and I thought, why is the referee letting this play on? I'll come back for a no try. And then he went down there and pointed to the spot.
Well, you only got to touch the ball and it still travels, in my eyes, it still travels backwards. And they call knock on.
Of course.
They just go, oh, no.
But to me, it hit his hands and just went straight down, like below his hands. It's a knock on. I couldn't see how it went backwards, but...
I just couldn't believe that decision. I'm standing there, not standing there, but watching it.
Yeah.
And I'm going, mate, please. And I was watching it with a group of people. I was at the pub. And they're all shaking their head going, mate, how does this get away? How do they get away with this?
Crazy. My villain, Mido, for the weekend, quite obvious, it's going to be South Sydney. I'm going to go as a collective, as a team. They're in dire straits at the moment, so I don't know how they get out of it. My heroes have been a little bit left field today. I don't know if you guys noticed, overnight, there was a guy by the name of Russell Cook. He's a British fella who has finished an expedition running the length of Africa.
Yep.
It's taken him 352 days. I think it's been the equivalent of 380-odd marathons he's completed in 352 days. But he's managed to run the length of Africa.
Yes.
How do you do that? How do you do that?
How does your body hold up, for one, let alone the mental
anguish,
strain,
torment?
Torment. And that's still an understatement. Yeah, incredible. Yeah, he came up on the show a couple of weeks ago. And, okay, so he's all done.
He's finished. He finished it yesterday.
What next?
Well, have a sleep for 6 months.
Some people do it. And I think he's raised a fortune for charity as well.
He has,
along the way. So
over $1 million Australian.
Yeah. Great stuff. Good noms. Love it. Okay, on the text line, there's plenty. Villain, copy and paste, Latrell. Got to get this rubbish out of his game. Hero, the crowd at the Knights-Dragons game. Hearty there on Friday night. Neville sending that one in. The conditions were horrendous, weren't they? And 30-10 in that game there, Friday night in the wet. Zach Lomax was put back to fullback in the second half as well, switching with Tyrell Sloan. So Shane Flanagan could, well, be interesting to watch what team he puts out for next week when that comes through tomorrow.
Starting to run out a bit of patience, I think. I think it's obviously more to do with his defensive game, and there was a couple of tries that Newcastle scored where kicks were put in and Terrell Sloan didn't clean up the ball or knocked it on and they scored from it, and I think Shane Flanagan's patience is starting to wear a little bit thin, Laws.
I didn't see the game. Well, I watched the first half, to be fair. I watched the first half in those conditions and then went to bed. The Dragons, I think, are on this roller coaster ride. Oh. This is what's going to happen for them this season before they actually start to be consistent, I think.
Yes.
Before they start to be a consistent side. So one week you'll get excited and next week they'll let you down. But I think they're on the way to improving. I think what I've seen so far from them, in their good periods, they look a bit tougher, a bit more robust, a bit more competitive as a footy side. Zach, the big decision is, you know that Zach's not going to be there, so why are you going to give him time to develop as a fullback when this is the period where Tyrell
should be looking
can learn
to the future, yeah,
and get better. That's the only thing I would question. If you're going to get rid of Tyrell now, like, you've got him, give him the rest of the year rather than putting Zach back there, who you know is going to move on. Because it's a specialised position, fullback.
Yeah.
And it takes time.
There's been a couple of times now where Terrell's played in heavy conditions in wet weather games. And we know he's only a lightly framed sort of guy. He's, what, he's 80, 85 kilos, ringing wet probably. And he's really struggled in the wet. And you get him on a dry track and he can show his class in attack, but you know, he's got to work on the defensive part of his game. And you make a very good point, Loz, about, you know, they're going to have to persist with him. They're going to have to, because he's potentially their future number one and Zach Lomax is not. So
no.
I know they want to win games, but I think Flano's also got to have an eye to the future, and he'll say, I need to persist with this kid and get the best out of him and see where we get to in the second half of the year where we're at.
Yeah, I think that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you've got this opportunity now, because he'll be a better player next year.
He will be, of course,
through what he goes through. But if you don't give him an opportunity now to get better, where's he going to learn? Go back to reserve grade, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you're still not at the same standard and you're still not facing those big bodies, and they target him in the defensive line. But just getting used to being able to get numbers in the way that teams defend these days is not an easy thing to do. And Tyrell has got all the ability in the world, but it's just a matter of him getting better at his job, and I think you got to learn on the run.
Yeah. The one thing about the Dragons, Loz, is like they were playing well in the first 20, 25 minutes of that game. They're leading 10-6 and look like they're on top. Jeez, they can concede tries in bunches. Like, oh, Newcastle, I think, scored 3 tries in 9 or 10 minutes, and the game was virtually over. They played perfect wet weather
football. I think a lot of teams can do that now, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's just the Dragons. I think the better teams don't do it as often.
Yeah.
But I reckon if you're a good footy team on the attack, you get a flow of possession, I think you can put 2 and 3 tries. So a 12-point lead these days is nothing.
No.
A 14-point lead is nothing. Because I reckon if you've got the attack in you, and with the way that the rules are and the fatigue that comes into today's game, if you get on a bit of a roll, you can score points quickly. Remember in the old days, like if you were 12-14 in front with 10 to go, you just win.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case these days.
No.
More of your texts here. Hero, the Randwick track. Congrats to everyone to ensure that we raced on Saturday. Villain Latrell Mitchell, all the fantastic work he does in the community sport by his behaviour on the field leading to another suspension, says Peter from Cogra. Hero, the 9,000-plus fans that attended the Knights game Friday night, what can only be described as abysmal conditions for the entire 80. Props also to the Knights, who handled the swimming pool conditions quite well, even making less errors than they did in the game against the Raiders. Most well-balanced spine they have fielded so far this year. Villain Latrell Mitchell and Souths generally missed a real opportunity to roll up the sleeves and silence the crowd. Classy from Maitland sending that one through. There's been a couple of, when we were just discussing earlier, Loz, about Origin hookers for New South Wales. A couple of people not happy we didn't include Mitch Kenny in the conversation as well. Says, forgotten hooker, only won the last two comps. Surely picked before Cook, Egan or Appy. Says, one texter and another fit Mitch Kenny. Forgotten hooker, only won the last 3 comps.
Yeah, it might be forgotten, but I still think the others that have their nose in front of Mitch Kenny, I've got all the respect in the world from him for him. I think he's a wonderful player. But I think these other two have just got some qualities that Mitch hasn't got. They're subtly out of dummy half. is very challenging for any defence. And I think Mitch plays really well in that Penrith system, and he's so effective in everything that he does. But me personally, I think those other two have played really good football. They haven't been in those winning grand final teams. And I know that Penrith let Wade Egan go, but I reckon if Appy and Wade was in those Penrith teams over the last couple of years, I still think Penrith would have won the comp and would be talking about those in a different light too, those players.
Michelle from Dubbo, easy pickings today. Villain South Sydney, Bad Bunnies, hero Tyler Schiller. Hope he celebrated with some KFC. Hope so indeed.
Did you watch the drone shot middle of his ride?
No, I haven't.
Did you see the gap that he took on Celestial Legend?
Well, I heard him talking about it. He said it was... He wouldn't normally take it.
I can understand why he said that. I mean, watch the replay. There was barely room for half a horse to fit through there. And you could see Celestial Legend was travelling so well. And he just pushed his way through to nudge his way through that gap to make it a little bit bigger. And once he got that gap, he just went bang. So, yeah, brave, brave ride. And I was watching the coverage at home on Saturday on Channel 7. And James McDonald actually went up to the broadcast box because he didn't have a ride in the Doncaster. Mm. So he was talking to Bruce McAvaney, and after the race, you could see Jay Mackle was almost like, couldn't believe what he just watched, the ride from Tyler Schiller, saying, that is an incredible ride. To get the praise from that type of jockey who then went out and won the Derby on Riff Rocket 35 minutes later. Yeah, it spoke volumes, I thought.
Where does this horse end up?
Oh, good question, Loz.
Could he drop back to an Everest?
I don't know. I feel like a mile's right in his sweet spot at the moment, obviously, quite clearly. I think he'd probably be found out at 1,200 metres, particularly in a fast-run race like an Everest. Like, I think he'd probably run off his feet a little bit. I think Les has got some options with him, obviously, in the spring to decide what he wants to do, but he'll carefully handle him like he does with all his horses, and he'll pick up some more feature race wins, you would have thought.
Well, it's going to be a day unlike we've seen here at the Inglis Easter Yearling Sale today. And joining us is the Chief Executive of Inglis Bloodstock, Sebastian Hutch. Morning, Seb. How are you, mate?
I am excited. Looking forward to today. It's cool to be here. It's been a long time in the planning. You know, you deal with all sorts of variables along the way, but the response at this point has been really positive and exciting to be here. It's not raining, sun is shining, everybody's in good form and ready to rock and roll.
Well, yesterday, take us through the numbers first.
Yeah, so top lot at 2.2 million, a Zoo Star filly at a Prompt Response. Everybody remembers Prompt Response. I mean, it's interesting when you get the catalogue and you see the pedigrees of the yearlings going through, you're obviously compelled to remind yourself of some of these horses. And the night before the sale, I was having a look through her race record and you forget how good she was, Prompt Response. I mean, she barely ran out of the first four in 30 starts. I mean, she's amazingly tough over four seasons. This is her third foal, her second foal sold here last year for $1.3 million. Is in New Zealand and very good. I think it's actually due to make its debut soon. But this filly was just next level again, just fantastic shape. Like, from the point of view of people who like to look at cool horses, that was a cool filly to look at. There was a Zoo Star colt, the most expensive colt yesterday, at a Fundamentalist. You know, Fundamentalist who gave the Autumn Sun the fright of its life. And the, I think it was the Randwick Guineas. You know, probably should have won Group 1. It was Group 1 place five times. He was a beautiful horse. Coolmore bought him. It was really a big day for Zoo Star and for Whitten yesterday. I think he had four of the top six slots. And it was fascinating because we had a lot of people engaged in the sale that we either hadn't had before or hadn't been for a few years. So that adds a variable to the sale. And we plough into today and hopefully we'll have another good day.
A highlight of this sale, Sebastian, is obviously getting with the Winx filly going through a little bit later this afternoon. We were here, what time, Meadow? 5:15 this morning. Still dark. And you had a security guard standing outside a box. Tell us about the preparations that goes into protecting this very valuable filly.
Yeah, it's just trying to take all practical measures to make sure that nothing can go pear-shaped, and we have security on the complex the whole way through the sale anyway. Just it made sense given the value of the filly and the profile of the filly that we had an extra layer of protection. So it's been great to be able to provide that sort of service, and you know, it's important to the owners and everything else. So it's pretty exciting.
I don't know whether you've seen or not today's article in the paper by our colleague here, Adam
Esteemed journalist.
Yes, esteemed journalist.
Don't use those terms with my name. It doesn't happen very often.
But he's saying there's this American
John Stewart.
John Stewart. He won't be outbid.
Look, anything can happen in an
office. I'm playing all. He's prepared to go to, what was it?
He said $9 million. $9 million.
We had dinner with Mr. Stewart here two weeks ago. Very, very interesting guy. Very, very bright guy. Has been extraordinarily successful in business. Has wanted to become a significant factor in thoroughbreds his whole life. He's from Lexington, Kentucky.
Has he bought horses here before?
Yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, yesterday was first time.
Yeah. Yesterday was first time. So he bid online yesterday. I actually, off the top of my head, I can't remember. I forgot to check how many he bought. I think he might have bought three.
Yeah.
It sounds about right. I think a couple of fillies and a colt. And I think, obviously, he's been very active on social media, so, I'm not saying anything he doesn't already know. But, you know, at this juncture, you know, he's very enthusiastic about the idea of having been on the Winx filly. But I think he's engaged in the sale as a whole. And it's fantastic that our sport continues to attract new people. I mean, he came to Golden Slipper Day, was here for Golden Slipper Day, was involved as a, I think, as a small ownership share in Storm Boy. I think really enjoyed the experience. I think he went to the Hunter Valley. He's been in Sydney. You know, I think that he was, I think he found the whole thing really appealing.
Yeah.
And I think it's a compliment that compliment to the sport that a guy like him wants to get involved in.
Yeah, I don't follow American racing as such. But how does American racing, the atmosphere, the vibe, the interest compared over here in Australia?
Well, it's more mainstream in Australia, Sebastian, you have to say, isn't it? Like, in Australia, horse racing is much more in the mainstream conscience. In America, it's very, a little bit marginalised these days. Is that fair to say that?
Oh, look, how I'd explain it is that horse racing is part of the social fabric of Australia.
Yes.
You know, people enjoy the race on a Saturday. People like to have a bet. It's very social. It's a fun thing to do. Narrative's very easy for people to follow. In America, everything is big.
Yeah.
You know, everything is big, so racing's a big sport. But it doesn't have the mainstream following that racing has here. Mm. They have lots of extraordinary meetings, but just the, I mean, I don't think they'd experience too frequently days like Golden Slipper Day or days like Saturday. It's just not like that.
Just like there's always something happening here in Australia with racing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What other highlights should we keep an eye on today then?
Right the way through the day, we didn't have a fabulous draft, some really nice horses to go through, some nice horses to go through from Arrowfield. Newgate only had a handful of horses offered yesterday, but have a big group of horses to sell today, including some extreme choice colts, so I expect to be very well found. Coolmore, I mean, independent of the Winx filly, Coolmore have a pretty fantastic draft. There's a Wooden Basset out of Tulip, there's a Wooden Basset out of Sunlight, a bunch of really nice horses. I don't want to feel like I'm leaving anybody out, but right the way through the catalogue, I was going through it last night after the sale and thinking, well, you know, there's plenty of exciting horses still to sell today, so hopefully we can have another good day.
Loz, I received a text from you on Saturday at about 5:07 p.m. Should I read this?
You can read it, yeah.
Fellas, don't know if you've heard, but I'm moving to Kenya with my new role in international RL. Save the 20th of the 5th, 24. We'll be having a farewell. Can you respond to this?
No, I can't. I did respond to as many people as I could. And I just wrote back, please disregard. He's a bip. I don't know how he gets into my phone. And he got me when I was vulnerable. I left it. Well, this was sent at 5:05 on Saturday afternoon. You don't know what I have to put up with.
He sent one to Michelle and the kids?
He sent one day about, he goes, oh, fellas, just keep it on the down low. Michelle and I are separated.
But you got people seriously ringing.
Oh, yeah, I've got my phone going all day. Oh, mate, just don't believe it. That's how much of a pest that is.
That is peak pest behaviour.
Oh, it is. And he's a mature gentleman. Oh. He's got kids of his own. He thinks it's hilarious. And I'm texting 50 people back. Just going, mate, don't save the day. Don't get involved. And it's funny, some people just know now. They don't respond.
Yeah.
The best one was. This is the best one. And this is when you know who your true mates are. And my best mate, he let me down. He said it to about 10 people. He goes, fellas, I've been down to the pub all day, done my ass. Can someone lend me 5K? There was radio silence. And one bloke, mate, one bloke out of the 10.
Offered. Oh, wow.
Only one of the 10. And I didn't hear from the other 9. There was nothing, including 2 of my great mates. And usually if I send them a text, they respond within 20 seconds. And there was nothing. Oh, I haven't let them. Oh, like I sort of let them know about that every now and again. Yeah, you call yourself a tight mate. Where were you? In the time of need.
Oh, okay, heroes and villains. Just before we get to a couple of calls here, just some results if you've missed them from overnight. So in the Premier League, it finished 2-2 in the big one at Old Trafford between Manchester United and Liverpool. In the other game, Sheffield United and Chelsea 2-2, and Tottenham beat Nottingham Forest 3-1. And we'll speak to Mossy later this morning, of course. Yesterday in the A-League, the Newcastle Jets beat City FC 3-1, and Adelaide went to Perth and won 4-2. In the golf this morning, the Valero Texas Open, and one of Evan Priest's selections, Ashkay Bhatia, 18 under par, leads by 3 shots with 5 to play. Denny McCarthy's making a bit of a late run here at 15 under par, but they're clear. Rory McIlroy's next at 10 under. In the LIV tournament over in Miami, Dean Burmester, 11 under, leads from Louis Oosthuizen and Tyrrell Hatton. In fact, Sergio Garcia and Matthew Wolff are also 10 under, one shot off the pace. So a close finish to that tournament coming up. And Cameron Smith, he was out after the opening round. He shot a 3 over 75 and pulled out with what was believed to be food poisoning he'd been battling. Okay, we've got Steve. Morning, Steve. How are you?
Morning from Albury, lads. How are we travelling?
Very well, mate. Making the trip up, are you?
Yeah. Oh no, only coming this far. Over to see the Grandies.
Beautiful. What have you got for us today, mate?
Well, Hero is going to be Australia's spot in the professional wrestling world after yesterday's WrestleMania. I know a lot of people don't believe it's real and it's fake and all that, but to have two Australians winning world championships over there on the big stage was absolutely amazing.
Tell me a bit more about it, Steve. I don't follow it, mate.
Rhea Ripley, she's the defending world champion. She won, and a young kid from Sydney, they call him Grayson Waller. He won the tag championships. It's just like, to have two Australians as world champions, if you're into your professional wrestling, is amazing.
Was that the one where, did The Rock make a comeback or something yesterday?
Correct. He did, and won.
Ah, there you go.
You're all
over.
That's
a surprise.
Loss.
No, I saw something. I saw something on the news, or it was in the paper this morning. When I was
That's why I'm over here, boys. I come over and watch WrestleMania with my eldest daughter every year. It's just a thing we've done for 100 years.
Who's your villain then, Steve?
Righto. Well, I missed the start of the show, but I've heard Laurie particularly talking about the interpretation of the knock-on. And, like, I'm far from the Manly fan, as you boys know. But Trbojevic was a knock-on when the ball came off his elbow and went forward an inch. Yet Cherry Evans can juggle the ball like a hot potato, going 2 foot in front of him every time, and it's a try. How do you get that?
The Cherry Evans, like the pass inside from Tom, was it? Tom, Cherry Evans
passed to Tom. No.
And then Cherry Evans juggled the score.
The Trbojevic try, where they said that the ball went forward off his elbow in a contest, went forward an inch. They ruled it a no try because it was knocked on off his elbow. Yet Cherry Evans juggles it like a hot potato running into an open try line, and they didn't even question it as a knock on. Like, the ball travels forward off your hands, it's a knock on, surely.
No, I don't think it is, unless you deliberately, you can't deliberately tap the ball, but if you juggle it and it doesn't touch the ground, I think it's play on.
But you can't deliberately
tap the ball forward. Tap it forward, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm tipping for Vojvic didn't deliberately touch it with his elbow and it was a no try.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my head around
which
one it was. I'd have to have a look at it, Steve, again. But I was away down the local establishment on Saturday afternoon looking at it.
It was in a try-scoring
I'll have to go back and have a look, mate.
It was in a try-scoring action, yeah, just before Cherry Evans. But I thought that one, one's no, one's yes. It just to the eye, it looks terrible. They really have to clean it up.
Good on you, Steve. Appreciate it, mate. We've got Shane. G'day, Shane.
Hey, Loz. Adam, how you going, boys?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Look, I've got heroes and villains, but Adam, what's the latest on expansion, mate? What's going on? Can you tell me?
PNG will be the 18th team, Shane, barring a late hiccup. I think it's very well advanced at this stage. I'm not quite sure what year they'll come in. I'd imagine they're probably looking at 2027 or 2028, but I'd be stunned if it's not Papua New Guinea being the 18th team in the NRL.
Based in Cairns?
Not sure yet. Peter Vlandy's made a comment, I think a couple of weeks ago, saying that he wasn't completely against the idea of that team being based out of Moresby and playing as a genuine Papua New Guinea team. Whether the logistics of that can work, I'm not too sure. I still think Cairns is a legitimate option for that team to be based, but I know there's been a little bit of talk about Perth and maybe a second New Zealand team, but I think they're well and truly advanced down the track with Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, Albo 600 million certainly helps, doesn't it?
Well, it could be more, Shane, as well. Could be more than that.
Yeah. My hero, boys, is Zach Lomax. He's been at the Dragons since he was 15. He's had five different coaches. His career's going nowhere. What he wants to do is head down south. We've got a spare spot in the centres next year with a bloke called Craig Bellamy. He will turn him into an Origin superstar and get the best out of him. That's a fact. My villains, look, all those experts, and we know the bloke that's leading the call, to get rid of kickoffs. First, they get rid of stand-up stinks. Then there's no pushing in the scrums. Then there's no shoulder charges. What are we trying to do to the game?
Yeah, and our man, the great Bulldog, he got some more evidence to support his theory that it could be up for being banned yesterday when it was Sam McIntyre, wasn't it, the Cowboys, collected, wasn't he, by Mo Fotuaker and had to go off after a big collision off a kickoff there yesterday.
We've already reduced a lot of them anyway, Mido, with this rule change that encourages more short dropouts and short kickoffs.
True.
Like, we've taken a whole bunch of them out of the game. So, listen, I'm a bit old school. I still like to see the statement set from the opening kickoff.
As we said last week, imagine the Origin starting with a 20-metre tap. I mean, seriously.
Well, I don't want to think about that.
No, good on you, Shane.
All right, boys. See ya.
Appreciate it. Plenty on the text line. Yes, saw this yesterday. My hero, Skye Nicholson, winning the WBC featherweight title in Vegas yesterday. My villain would have to be the bunker for making so many mistakes, says Mark from Old Bar. Villains, Dominic Young for the high shot and for the judiciary only giving him 2 weeks. Heroes, Les Bridge for still producing champions at 87. He's 85, actually, years of age. That's Ash and Eleonora Heights. I watched a lot of that game. It was an entertaining game on Friday night in the wet at a core stadium between the Dogs and the Roosters. The Roosters did not show up and then had all sorts of issues. Dom Young obviously gets sent off for the shot on Blake Taff. James Tedesco sacrificed his body, basically, to stop that try with Viliami Kikau. And then somehow the Roosters nearly win the game.
Yeah, it was a mad game, wasn't it? It was one of those games where, going into it, I thought the Roosters would win. But obviously then the rain came and you're thinking it'll be tighter. But the Roosters, yeah, on paper, better side, they should play well. I think the Bulldogs, and I've said it now for a number of weeks, I think they've improved and they're showing improvement under Cam Ciraldo. That was a big effort from them to start the game the way they did. And they were always in control of that game in that first half. And to be leading at halftime, what was it, 26-0? And then nearly to lose it, yeah, that's not a great sign. But for them to be 26 points in front at halftime when we were questioning areas of their attack. But I think there's something to like about the Doggies. They take on Melbourne this weekend with a lot of players that will be unavailable.
Yeah.
That scares me possibly a little bit. taking on Melbourne down there. But the Roosters, I don't know what to make of their season so far. Because after round one, when they beat Brisbane over there, I thought, oh, yeah, there's something about the Roosters that look good. They turned up with a great attitude to defend well. Their attack would evolve as the season went on, I thought. But looking at them at the moment, they're just too inconsistent for my liking.
What did you make, Loz, about Trent Robinson's comments after the game saying you didn't think Dom Young should have been sent off?
I think he got it wrong. I think he was trying to protect his teammate. His player. I think that was a send-off every day of the week.
Same. I just looked at it and thought, that's a send-off every single day of the week.
Yeah.
Now, I thought he had grounds.
Oh, the Victor Radley one was just not... You don't even go there. That wasn't a send-off.
Or sin bin, yeah.
That's sin bin or whatever, you know. And then you look at what Latrell did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you compare it to Radley's and you go, well... Yeah. What's happening here?
No,
there's inconsistencies.
I thought the bunker got the Dom Young one 100% correct. Even Cooper Cronk admitted it on the TV coverage.
Mate, once you're coming in like that and you hit them
with force,
you're gone.
Yeah.
And he hit him flush on the chin.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no denying that he should have been sent from the field.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Well, today the Winx filly by Piero is offered up by Coolmore. And joining us now is Coolmore stable rep Tom Moore. Tom, morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, morning, guys. Thanks for having me. It's an exciting day, so we're keen to get into it.
No doubt. And how is everyone at Coolmore feeling ahead of the sale of this filly this afternoon?
Well, any sale, there's a certain element of pressure on all of our shoulders. It's a big week, regardless of what year. I suppose that is elevated somewhat this year when we're offering this Winx filly on behalf of our owner. So we want to do it justice and we want to do them proud. And she has been here in great condition. She's obviously taken a lot of attention from people all over the world. And it's not often that you see a yearling filly get that sort of attention from the mainstream media, which adds a certain element of pressure. But the whole team handled themselves particularly well. The owners seem pretty relaxed. And we're just keen to follow their career from now on and pass her on to the next man who's willing to pay for her.
Tom, I was out here on the grounds yesterday and had a quick look at her, and she's been pulled in and out of her box, obviously, countless times over the last few days and paraded in front of prospective buyers. How has she gone? Because we know that Winx herself, mum, wasn't the biggest fan of the cameras and any fuss being made over her. How's this filly sort of handled all the, I suppose, the intense environments surrounded her for the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, they're only babies. They haven't been exposed to this sort of pressure before. But you couldn't have asked more of this particular filly. Like I said, yearling fillies don't normally get this sort of attention, but she's handled everything that's been asked of her. People have been very respectful as well. They know that she's going to fetch a significant amount, and they haven't pulled her out just to give her the practice. But it's been great. The whole experience has gone pretty well, very smoothly. It couldn't have gone better. So. The owners, no doubt, they're a bit nervous, but as far as the filly is concerned, there's no drama.
All right, it's obviously the million or millions dollar question. What's everyone at Coolmore sort of saying? Are you having bets with each other? Like, what does she go for?
Well, we've never offered a filly with a reputation such as this one. Like, Winx is the greatest mare we've ever seen and probably will ever see. So it's very hard to put a valuation on her, but anything can happen in the live auction. It's very rare that the progeny of a mare such as Winx will go to a live auction, let alone a filly such as this one. You can race her and own her for the next year, 20 years and build a dynasty from her. So it's very hard to take a guess as to where she'll end up price-wise. I know there's been a lot of talk from John Stewart in America saying he won't be beaten, but there'll be plenty of other investors in high-quality bloodstock there to take him on. So it'll be very interesting to see how it plays out.
We're going to ask you, Tom. You guys have a fairly good idea about the amount of people who have inspected her and looked at her. How many people do you expect to be involved in this bidding process and going down swinging? Are you talking two parties, three parties, maybe up to five or six?
Well, a filly such as this has such significant residual value, and every bloodstock investor that is serious about the game from all over the world is here and has laid eyes on her. So no doubt they will put their valuations on her, but you can put your valuations on a yearling before it goes through the ring, and then they go completely out the window once they're in the ring and the adrenaline starts pumping. So it's very hard to put a valuation on her, but we know that there are a significant number of people that could potentially buy her on the ground. Ingrid has done a great job in getting those people here, and the team at Coolmore have done a great job in presenting this filly in peak condition. So she'll make as much as she could possibly make.
Well, we're going to see theatre like no other here today, and well done to Coolmore and all the team as well. And I know you've got a great draft here with plenty of other great fillies and colts to go through the ring here today again as well. So, mate, thanks for your time, and hopefully everyone at Coolmore can enjoy the afternoon.
Thanks, guys. We look forward to putting it through the ring and having another great day. Yesterday was unbelievable, so let's hope it's the same again today.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Cheers.
Heroes and Villains, give us a call. 1353 53. Villain Latrell, hero Jordan Rapana. 100% all heart. The type of player everyone wants on their side. No name to that one. He went off early with an injury last night, didn't he, Loz?
He did.
He recovered and came back
did
off.
Did you see the swelling?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Walked
Loz,
off
no.
the field.
Looked bad, did it?
I looked bad. I thought, oh, geez, he's done his ACL or something here. And then all of a sudden he came back on. And then he got injured again. He went up for a bomb. And then I'm thinking, oh, geez, you've just made a replacement, put him back on, and he's going to come off with another injury. But then, yeah, he was able to play and play really well. What about the Dolphins on the weekend? They've got the Broncos this weekend. Yeah. And they have taken everyone. I think they surprised me again this season after round one.
I keep thinking back to round one. I'm thinking, how is this team top of the ladder?
So am I. I'm doing the same. But the injuries they got out of their game on the weekend, Flegler, Farnworth, Kafusi.
Yeah.
Like, if those three don't play against the Broncos, it takes something out of that clash as well.
Particularly if Reece Walsh has a chance of coming back too.
Yeah. I saw him training with the headgear on.
Did you see the headgear, Mido?
No.
Is that a boxing headgear?
It's like it's had like a protective thing over the cheek on the side.
It's like a baseball helmet.
Yeah.
But it was like a headgear.
Yeah. It was strange.
Yeah. I saw some vision out randomly. Remember the initial helmets in cricket?
Motorbike helmets. Tony Gregg back in the day.
Sort of reminded me of that. Top of the ladder. Gee. Three wins, one loss, and they've had a bye already, the Dolphins as well. The Cowboys are 4-1. Storm and Sharks both 3-1 as well at this stage. But, good win for the Raiders last night. So they're 3-2. Para 2-3. Clearly feeling the loss of Mitch Moses. 41-8 there in that game last night. Trent's on the line. G'day, Trent.
Morning, boys. How are we going?
Very well, mate. What have you got for us?
Mate, is it your birthday, Mido, at some stage over the next couple of days or not?
It was a couple of days ago.
Mate, but I better throw a happy birthday, I suppose.
Thanks, mate. Thank you.
No, that's all right, buddy. Hey, just one thing.
Sucking up won't help on this program.
Yeah, I know, Bailey. I know that, mate. Mm. I know that very well. But look, just on Winx, before I get the Heroes and Villains, the yearling that's going today, they're going in with a lot of blindness, some of these blokes, if they're going to throw 4 or 5 million. Like, you look at two of our greatest, Makybe Diva and Sunline. They have not thrown one.
No, we're actually just discussing this off air. Mm.
Have not thrown one. And it's a common theme with champion mares, Mido. You get the odd one. But, look, I hope she does. I really do, because a legacy deserves it. But I'll just be going in with very, very cautionary eyes, throwing that kind of money about when she's not tested as a brood mare.
You should come up out here and tell all the prospective buyers, Trent.
Oh, mate, no chance. Mate, let him spin big. I want to see 9 million. I want to see this bloke from the States absolutely go nuts. But, I don't know. Look, I'm just thinking from a devil's advocate side. I think proceed with caution, but I hope it goes for an absolute monster, and then whatever she does in the racetrack, does it tenfold. Yeah.
Well, there's no guarantees, but one thing you do know, she's well bred.
Yes.
And she's been well taken care of, and she'll be given every chance possible. And the other thing is, like, you can buy a horse for $1,500 and have success. Yep. You could pay. There's no guarantees with anything.
No.
There's no guarantees with any horse that you pay for.
And the other one to throw in the mix, Trent, is Black Caviar. She's hardly covered herself in glory as a broodmare as well. So,
yeah, exactly, Adam.
You make a very good point. Mate.
I'd like to own the horse. Yeah.
All right, so, mate, I'm going to throw a hero at the Bulldogs opening 40 on Friday night. I thought they were absolutely outstanding. And then the villain is the game in general, Roosters and Dogs. There were so many mistakes in that game. I think Trent Robinson will probably have a quiet word with Luke Keary just before half-time with that dropout to take it to 26-0. Not sure if you remember that, Loz, just before half-time, that particular play.
Which one was that?
So just before half-time, the Roosters had a dropout. Luke Keary decides to go 10 metres. Dogs get possession. They go 26-0 up before the break.
Yeah, right.
And then the second half, the Dogs, bless their little hearts, almost steal defeat from the jaws of victory.
They got nervous.
I don't think nerves is the right word. I think they just absolutely were wearing Puma pants. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Like, it was entertaining to watch, actually, for a neutral. Yeah. I enjoyed the game.
I'm glad you did, but it was horrible for me.
Yeah. Dogs fans, it was heart and mouth. Couldn't believe that you were in that position. You should never have, you know, even let the Roosters back in it. Anyway, there you go. Thanks, Trent.
Oh, good on you, boys.
And we got Sean. G'day, Sean. How are you? Sean, we got you, mate?
Yeah, mate. I think so. You there, bud?
Gotcha. How are you?
Mate, I could be better, but what can you do, mate? Rabbits are going to busters, but what can you do? You
know? Not going well. Who's your hero and villain?
Mate, my hero is all the track staff at Redmond who got that meeting to go ahead on Saturday. Mate, we had the downpour from hell on Friday of every proportion. To get that track how it was phenomenal. So they're my hero. They cop a lot of crap, but when they produce a track like that, they should be applauded. What the job they do is fantastic, mate. So they're my hero.
Most definitely.
And my villain, mate, has to be Latrell. Come on, see if he can, mate. You're in a team that's getting hammered, and he does crap like that. Well, I don't think he puts in, mate. I really don't think he puts in enough of a game each week to warrant the hype that he gets. Mm. I really don't.
He's opening himself up for criticism when he produces acts like that on a footy field. It was unacceptable.
Yep.
And we want to see Latrell reach his potential, but he just hasn't found his rhythm or mojo now for what,
3 or 4 years?
I reckon
close to 2 years long.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say like the back end of last year, like halfway through last year, and then the start of this year. We're all expecting a lot more from him. Because he actually looks fitter than what I've seen.
I looked at another day, Loz, and I'm thinking, you are looking fitter than I've seen you for a number of years.
Yeah.
He's not carrying as much.
He looks great. Yeah.
So I just don't know what the issues are. But what I will say, I think it goes deeper. And Adam and I don't know whether we spoke about this on or off air, but we were talking about their forward pack, and their forward pack hasn't delivered this year.
Yeah, it hasn't.
And that makes it hard.
Yeah, I don't think we've had a different forward pack probably 5 years, Loz, either, in saying that. Like, we've had some great forwards that are hard workers, but that muscle we had been burgeoned for the end, that's all gone now. So we have to find players that can take that sort of role in that team. And, don't get me wrong, they're doing great. They're doing great every week. They try their best, but they don't have that power strike forward that they had when Burgess was there. Simple.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
Good on you, Sean.
Thanks, guys.